I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to JJ's Football Fix, the Everything EPL podcast. My name is Jordan Gifkins, and alongside me is the meteoric rise to fame man in Jake White. How are you, buddy?
You're right, mate. How are you?
Absolutely stupendous on this lovely Friday afternoon. Today we are casting episode 27, which is
the casting couch,
the LFC podcasting couch. Give it a listen. What a plug, just for you, Nish. a little bit to talk about today, Jake. We've got, obviously, a couple weeks ago now in the Premier League, because we had the weekend off last weekend, so we're not talking about any of those games, because there was none, but we are going to talk about those games, but they weren't Premier League games, but we're going to talk about the 2 weeks ago, the games. We're going to talk about the FA Cup last week. We're going to talk about a bit of Europa League and Champions League action for the last few days. We're going to talk about the upcoming weekend in the Premier League. So a little bit to talk about. And that's about it. Oh, wait, Jake. Did we almost miss it? I think we caught everyone off guard there. Mm. Claudio Ranieri. Goodbye. Goodbye, my friend. Goodbye. He's been sacked from his
Bye,
job.
Bye, Claudio.
9 months after winning.
Goodbye, Claudio.
Bye, Claudio. Bye-bye now. Bye, Claudio. Down at the door here on the way out, Claudio. Bit of a dig at Clive Palmer there. He's been sacked 9 months after winning the Premier League title, the historic Premier League title with Leicester City, which we'll go into a bit later in the podcast, I think. We'll talk about a little bit to do with that, because that is a massive subject in the world of English football today. Waking up to the news, I was a bit bamboozled by it all, Jake. Obviously, they're not doing too well this season, but it's a very interesting decision by the owners of Leicester City. So, we'll crack on to that a bit later in the podcast, Jake. But to kick things off, we're going to cast our minds back to the Premier League weekend that was 2 weeks ago now, Jake, because we obviously did a podcast last week after the week off. A much-needed week off at that, just to refresh our minds and our brains and our taste buds. But we're going all the way back to the 11th of February, which was a good 13 days ago now. And I don't know if you can remember any of these games, Jake. I certainly can't. Arsenal.
I watched all the highlights this morning.
You'll be able to talk about the games, and I won't be able to. Hull hosted Hull City. I mean, Arsenal hosted Hull City. What am I doing?
What you talk about?
In this massive game with the Emirates, always going to be a tight one. The Gunners, they ended up taking a lead in the 34th minute through Alexis Sanchez, the Maradona-esque, you could say. I remember that one. Before the penalty spot came to Arsenal's rescue in the 93rd minute, after Sammy Klukas, what a name, handled on the line. he was pretty upset about it after, but alas, another goal to Alexis Sanchez, takes him to the top of the golden boot in the Premier League, undeservedly at that, we'll say, Jake, controversially.
Controversially.
Because let's be honest here, top of the golden boot after scoring a handball and a penalty, and he scored like 8 penalties this season. Whatever, is what it is. Arsenal win 2-0 against Hull. Hull didn't really look in it. Nias leading the Lions, had the worst player on the ground rating, according to my app. Does not surprise me in the slightest, Jake. What is your take on the game?
From the goals and stuff, Arsenal got a bit lucky, but you got to take your luck at the end of the day. Every team's going to get lucky here and there, apart from Everton. They deserved the win, obviously. They were a better team, but at the same time, like, the goals that they did score, like, you have to feel like their penalty wouldn't have happened if it was nil all, because Arsenal wouldn't have been in a counter-attacking situation like that, because Hull would have been sitting back. And their goal obviously shouldn't have happened, because, like you said, it was handball. But what can you do, John? The Arsenal, at the end of the day, get 3 points, the big 3 points, 4-2, because if they didn't win that, then I 110% would say that their title challenge would be over. But they're still, like, I don't think they're going to go anywhere near the title this season, but they're realistically still a chance. It's only 10 points in 13 games, which isn't impossible, but yeah, it's a big, big win for them at the end of the day.
Yeah, if they actually lost this game, they would have been sitting sixth. So it's quite tight up there. There's 4 points separating second from sixth, so it's always good. Interestingly, in this game, Hull actually had more possession than Arsenal, which is interesting because Arsenal are quite a possession-dominant team at home, especially. You'd think against Hull, they would have got the chockies in that regard, but they didn't quite. But alas, 2-0 win. Arsenal move on to the next game. West Ham versus West Bromwich Albion.
The Battle of the West.
The Battle of the West, the game that shat me up the wall. Nasser Chadli opened scoring the 6th minute for West Brom. Not really surprisingly, revelation for West Brom this season, Nasser Chadli. Sofyan Feghouli in the 63rd minute scored for West Ham before Manuel Lanzini scored a nice little goal in the 86th minute. And I was looking on time to win my treble until Gareth McCauley, who funnily enough is in my fantasy team, popped up in the 94th minute and scored a goal for West Brom. So a bit of indifferent views from that one. I would prefer to win a bit of money rather than get about 6 points in fantasy, but that's all right. The show goes on. West Ham dominated this game, so it's pretty funny that they didn't win. And I'm kind of happy that they didn't win because I like seeing them do a bit of a struggle here and there, Jake.
Yeah. The very weird game as well, Jordan. I think West Ham were the better team, in my opinion, but they're just one of those teams right now that are struggling to close out games, sort of. And a late, very, very late goal from West Brom ended up breaking West Ham hearts again. And at the end of the day, if you can't learn how to close out games, these are the points that will catch up with you then as well. So I think those are the sort of things that are going to cost West Ham finishing in the top eight, because it's a few times this season that they've conceded pretty late to not pick up a win or a draw. So I guess that's something they have to work on, and they're definitely a better team since Pye has left. But at the same time, they've got to start closing out their games, like I said, because it's starting to get a bit embarrassing for them. You sort of expect them to concede later games.
I think a lot of teams know that when they go there and attack them late, that they could actually more likely than not pip something from the game. So we'll move on to the Stadium of Light, Jake. Sunderland struggled in their attempts to continue their survival in the Premier League in a 4-0 thrashing against Southampton. Gabbiadini, a long-time man linked to Everton, is enjoying a very fruitful start to the Premier League career. He scored twice in the first 45 minutes to give Southampton a 2-0 lead. Jason Denier scored an own goal in the 88th minute, pretty much for the icing on the cake, before Shane Long said, "Fuck you, Sunderland," and scored in the 92nd minute. 4-0. I just had a look at the lineup for Sunderland. That is an atrocious lineup, without being too harsh. That is very harsh. They've had I don't even know. Brian Oviedo was the best player on the pitch for Sunderland.
What a guy.
Just about says it all. Nothing against Brian Oviedo. Love the guy, but
do you? Yeah. What are you married?
It's not legalised, I don't think.
In Costa Rica.
Costa Rica. Darren Gibson started centre midfield. Adnan Januzaj, Jermaine Defoe. Look, they've got a few individual players that could slot into a bit higher in the Premier League, but they're just, I don't know, Jake. I don't know. They've escaped a few times in recent years. But this could be the year they don't survive. I don't know, Jake. What are your thoughts on everything? Because I don't know.
It's a weird one, because like they're
your first. Like, I don't know is what you say. Okay,
it's Sunderland though. That's the thing. Like, I think this is the worst team that I've seen Sunderland pulled out, like squad wise and stuff. But it's just Sunderland, and you just expect them to at the end of the day just somehow escape relegation. So, like, obviously they were shit ass in this game, and Southampton should have won by more, in my opinion, but yeah, it's a weird one, because, like, they're still... I think Moyes has just stuffed up his selections and stuff. Like, he had money to play with, apparently, in January, and he didn't end up using it to his, the best of his abilities, in my opinion. Like, he spent, what, like, 10 mil on Gibson and Oviedo. Like, they were both nice servants for Everton, and I respect them both and thank them both for what they did for Everton in patches and stuff, but I don't think they're exactly players that will do much for them, because they've replaced Van Aanholt, who I think was their second best player, with their Oviedo, who was Everton's second best left back. So I think that sort of proves where Sunderland are at. Like, you just know, like, this week against Everton, Gibson's going to come out and score a 40-yard worldie or something like that, but there's only so much luck that they're actually going to get. And I don't know if they're going to be able to get that lucky this season, because the teams that are around them are in similar boats where they don't have fantastic squads, but those teams seem more likely to pick up points than what Sunderland do these days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just... I don't think they'll finish last. I think Palace will, but I don't see Sunderland escaping relegation this season.
Yeah, well, that's what everyone says every year, and they do. we'll move on, Stoke City. And that mob that you mentioned just before, Crystal Palace, played out a thriller at the Bet365 Stadium. Joe Allen, the only goal separating these two sides in the 67th minute. Enough for Stoke to pick up that vital victory. Not that vital, but, you know. Palace struggled for the most part. Joel Ward was their best player off these statistics. Their demise this season sees them sit 19th with 13 games to go, and it does not look like it's going to get any better for them anytime soon, Jake.
No. It doesn't. Not at all, mate.
Is that all you're
going to say? Literally. That's all I'm going to fucking say.
Well, no, I'm actually going to say on this one. Middlesbrough 0, Everton 0. This game, just one for the ages. Excitement here and there. Said no one ever. This game was very dull as Everton got a point away, which you at the end of the day, you probably take it. Every away game, you probably aim to get at least a point. And Middlesbrough, tricky opposition. They've been okay recently, but it could have been more. Could have been less if not for Joel Robles. An interesting game for all money. Everton, great form of late, but didn't look like they really hit their stride in this game. Middlesbrough did well resiliently in defence. Victor Valdez was on form. Bernardo, I thought, had a really good game for Middlesbrough. Going forward, there was always the danger of the likes of Traore, who's a strong and bustly sort of, you know, winger. Created a few chances here and there. Gaston Ramirez came on and created a few headaches. Rudy Gasted as well, surprisingly. So, we give him shit every episode, and he actually did all right. But yeah, an interesting game for Everton. One that they probably learnt a little bit from, hopefully. But I guess we'll find out in the upcoming weeks. But yeah, not a fantastic result for Everton, but not the end of the world.
That's sort of weird. Like, I think we deserve the win, in my opinion. But at the same time, Middlesbrough set up with a... I don't really want to be too disrespectful or anything like that, but they said, I think they definitely set out to get a draw. I think they would have definitely gone into this game being content with a draw. It proved that, like, realistically, they sat back and tried to get Everton on the counter, and I've been saying for years, and it still hasn't changed, and there's not much we can do about it, I guess, but until we invest in better players, I guess, but Everton don't exactly ever play too well when they're the team that has to initiate the attacking, because Everton are a lot better when on the counter. And Lookman had a few chances. Lukaku had a one-on-one saved. And just, like, it's just those little things. Like, one of those goes, obviously, one of those goes in the back of the net. We win 1-0. And we've had a scrappy 1-0 win away from home, which you'd take any day of the week. So I don't know. You've got to take your chance at the end of the day. Middlesbrough have had a few good chances too, which further proves that Joel is worthy of his number one spot right now. And I think, like, it's not a horrible point, because going to a team like Middlesbrough who are trying to fight relegation, and it was pissing down with rain and everything like that, it was never going to be easy. So a point's not horrible, but obviously would have much preferred three.
Yes, I think everyone would have much preferred three. Manchester United hosted Watford in what was realistically going to just be a one-sided game. And it turned out that way in some respect. United dominated the shots, dominated possession, and didn't quite dominate the scoreline, but they got the win 2-0 at the end of the day. Mata scored in the 32nd minute. Martial scored in the 60th minute, and that was all she wrote, I guess, in this one. United extend their lead over Everton to 7 points, and really close in on that top four position, which looked unlikely a while ago, but they've done well to get themselves back into calculations. And Watford, on the other hand, you know, their early season form is sort of keeping them out of the relegation scrap at the moment, because they are 10 points clear of relegation right now, but they hadn't had those few wins earlier in the season that they probably shouldn't have, then they would have been looking at another relegation scrap this season.
Oh yeah, 100%. They're definitely struggling. I remember about 2 months ago, probably now, 2.5 months ago, they beat Everton and they were flying. They'd won like 6 of their last 7 or something like that, or 6 of their last 8. And they were in really good form and the crowd was buzzing and the whole stadium was bouncing and everything like that, and it was fantastic to see from Watford's perspective. But they've definitely fallen off the pace since then. And like you said, I don't think they're going to get relegated or anything like that, but it's just not good to see for them right now that they're struggling, because they did get a win against Burnley the week before, I'm pretty sure. And if they hadn't have got that, then they would have. If they had have lost that, then they would have been on 27 points and only 7 points clear. So,
and they beat Arsenal a few weeks ago as well.
Yeah, so they're not in a good position at the moment, which is disappointing to see considering where they were about 2.5 months ago. But at the same time, taking nothing away from United, they're starting to hit a lot of wins in a row. Well, not wins in a row, but like they're unbeaten their last like 20 games in all competitions or something like that, which is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
Fair play to them. They deserve it, I think, but they're still sixth, which obviously they won't like, but at the same time, they're playing some fantastic football, and I think they will end up finishing the top four.
Well, I think Mourinho would take a top four finisher right now. I think anyone United supporters would as well. Liverpool hosted Tottenham in what was probably touted as the game of the round. It probably wasn't the game of the round. It was relatively boring in parts. Liverpool sort of dominated as they normally do against the big teams at home. But Tottenham really struggled. Mane scored 2 goals in 2 minutes to essentially that's it for the entire game. So a 2-0 win for Liverpool. And they continue to push for that Champions League spot. Still tough for them, but they closed the gap on Tottenham. It would have been nice to see Tottenham win, but kind of everything you want. But yeah, it wasn't the best of games for Tottenham. They've somewhat struggled, like I said, of late, leading towards that Europa League game this morning as well that we'll get into a little bit later. But yeah, not the best for them.
Yeah, it's disappointing from their perspective as well, because Pochettino noted this as a big game for them, because if they won this, then they'd really cement a spot in the top four and they'd be looking pretty comfortable to finishing in a Champions League spot. But now they're equal fourth and only 1 point away from fifth, so, and 2 points away from sixth, so they're not definitely far from clear in the Champions League positions. It's a disappointing performance from them, but again, taking nothing away from Liverpool, they turned up with a different mindset. Mane proving how important he is for Liverpool and how much they did miss him when he was away at African Cup of Nations. And the end of the day, like, I did watch this game and I remember this game. Liverpool did deserve 3 points. They played fantastic. And like I think I said in the podcast leading up to this game is Liverpool have been in some shit-ass form, but they always turn up when they play against the big teams. Like, no matter where they are, if it's home or away, they always turn up against the bigger teams. So I wasn't too surprised to see Liverpool win this one, but obviously would have preferred to see Tottenham win.
Big game here between Burnley and Chelsea. Burnley obviously known to be one of the best teams at home in the league this season. Chelsea, the top of the league at the moment. So this is always going to be an interesting game. And I think the 1-1 draw, the final result, was probably fair enough in regards to everything talked about pre-match and statistics and stuff like that. Games aren't won on paper, but Burnley are doing very well at home this season. However, statistically, Chelsea, 71.7% of possession, 13 shots to 7. They made about 450 more passes than Burnley, which is ridiculous. And they really asserted their dominance in this game. But alas, it was Chelsea that took the lead through Pedro in the 7th minute. But Robbie Brady, the big signing from Norwich, scored, I'm pretty sure it was a free kick.
Yeah, good free kick too.
Yeah, in the 24th minute to give Burnley that 1-1 result, and they held on for dear life. Massive result for them as they continue to sort of get clear from that relegation zone, and their home form is what's keeping them in the Premier League right now, because I'm pretty sure they haven't even won a game away this season. So they've done well at home, but they can't keep relying on their home form, and it's going to be an interesting test for them for the rest of the season.
Fair play to Burnley. It's difficult for them to obviously play against Chelsea, but they turned up again. Like we said, they wouldn't be surprised if they did turn up against Chelsea and nicked a point, and they did exactly that. Chelsea was a better team, but at the end of the day, Burnley, like we've seen throughout this whole season, always turn up when they're at home, and you can't really fault that, and that's what's going to, at the end of the day, like, I know they're sitting pretty comfortably somewhat in 12th right now, but if you look at their away form, like, their away form is relegation form. So I reckon they're probably pretty thankful that they've got such good form at home, because they've won one. They've got 1 point in their 11 games away from home, so they've got 19 of their 20 points at home, which I think that proves that 19 of their 30 points at home. 29 of their 30 points at home, which is pretty ridiculous. So fair play to them at the end of the day. You can't really fault that. Chelsea, I don't think we'll look into this too much. I think Chelsea is still clear. They're still going to win the league. But well done to Burnley for getting a point against them.
The gap does drop to 8 points, though, Chelsea and Manchester City at the top. So
City's done it before. City were 8 points behind United with 5 games left when City won the league in 2012. So
you never know. Football's a funny game, and if Chelsea were to stumble here, it'd be well talked about. Moving on to a massive game with the ramifications of relegation. Swansea 2, Leicester City 0. This is just ridiculous, isn't it, from Leicester this season. Alfie Mawson, in the 37th minute, scored to put them 1-0 up. Martin Olsen, just before half-time, put them 2-0 up. And they held on all game to win Swansea. Look, they had more shots. They had slightly less possession. It was a relatively even game. I think Swansea probably slightly better. But that's all she wrote, really. I think Leicester's, you know, after Ranieri's relegation, bloody sacking this morning, I think it's just set up for Leicester to get relegated. And
fucking hope so.
I really hope they do as well.
It'd be hilarious.
This was a massive game. Swansea on equal points, sitting on in 17th alongside Leicester. And this win puts them 3 points clear of Leicester, 4 points clear of relegation. So just a slight reprieve, but it could be big come the end of the season.
Mate, I tell you what, well done to Swansea. They've done very well. They've sacked their manager. They've got a bloke in that knows what he's doing clearly, and It's good. I don't think Swansea are going to get relegated. And this time, a month and a half ago, I had Swansea 110% to be going down. So, fucking well done to them, because since they've got their new manager in, they've beaten in the Premier League. They've beaten Palace. They got smacked up by Arsenal, which is fair enough. Arsenal are decent. They beat Liverpool. Beat Southampton. Lost in the 94th minute to Manchester City, and now they've beaten Leicester City. So, pretty ridiculous effort from them to knock their way out of relegation. They've got a massive game this week, obviously, at Stamford Bridge, but I think that'd be a very good test for them as well to see where they are at as well. So, obviously, no one's going to go into that game expecting them to get the 3 points, but at the same time, I think it's a very good test for them, like I said, to see where they are at, because if they can hold Chelsea a little bit to maybe even like a 1-0 win to Chelsea or something, they'll take that and they'll notice that they're making dramatic improvements. And I think it all comes down to the new manager and comes down to Gylfi Sigurdsson as well, because Gylfi Sigurdsson is, I wouldn't say single-handedly, but without Gylfi Sigurdsson, I reckon Swansea would be struggling. So, well done to it.
Well, they had a ridiculous stat, didn't he, of like 65% involvement in all of Swansea's goals. So without him, they would have definitely
struggled. He just seems to get a goal or an assist every single week. So he'll move to a club. I can see him going back to maybe Tottenham, or hopefully coming to Everton, or maybe going to Liverpool or something like that next season, which he will fully deserve.
The final game we're talking about, Bournemouth hosted Manchester City, and could not get the chocolates in this regard. Sterling opened the score in the 29th minute before Tyrone Mings put one to the back of his own net in the 69th minute. Bad news for City this game. Gabriel Jesus injured 3 months, I've heard, the 15th minute of this one. So bad news for them. Obviously, they've got incredible backup at the moment in Sergio Aguero, but it's still not good because he was flying. But well done to City. Not the easiest game, I guess, Bournemouth away, but they did well. They closed that gap at the top of the table, like I said. And Bournemouth still aren't clear of relegation. 26 points at the moment, 6 points clear of the 18th placed Hull City. So it is not a bad situation to be in, but I wouldn't say they're clear at all. A few bad results here and there could result in them slipping down that pecking order and potentially getting in a relegation scrap towards the end of the season.
Yeah, that's disappointing for them as well, because obviously people have been listening to this podcast from the start. Me and you, reasonably big fans of Bournemouth, and yes, with the team they've got some nice players in the team, but they're just not clicking over today, I guess, and only 6 points clear. Never know, stranger things have happened, but City is they look like they're starting to click. It's a big loss for them to see that Gabriel Jesus has picked up an injury, but especially after watching their Champions League game midweek against Monaco where they won 5-3, I think they're starting to find that attacking form that they sort of lost for a period of like a month or so. So it'll be good for them. And I think Aguero, I know it's obviously bad that Jesus has got injured, but it obviously catapults Aguero back into the starting team, which I don't think that's a horrible replacement to have to bring into your starting team. And I think City will kick on now and cement that second spot as theirs.
It's interesting they didn't play Aguero and Jesus next to each other. I think that would have been interesting. Would have been lethal, I reckon.
It's just a sort of Guardiola style, I guess. He only usually wants to play with one up front, and he's pretty content with Sterling and Sane on the wings.
Yeah, I would be as well. we'll crack on here into the sort of ladder and whatnot. Chelsea obviously top still, 60 points. Man City second on 52. Tottenham and Arsenal equal points, 50 in third and fourth. Liverpool in fifth on 49. United in sixth on 48. That spreads out a bit. Everton in 7th on 41. West Brom in 8th on 37 points. Stoke City and West Ham equal on 32 points, make out the top 10. Southampton, Burnley and Watford all have 30 points this season. Bournemouth, they're sort of top of that relegation sort of fight in 14th on 26 points. Swansea in 24 points. Middlesbrough in 16th on 22 points. Leicester as we said, just above that relegation. Hopefully they go down. They're 17th on 21 points. Hull, top of the relegation zone on 20 points. Crystal Palace and Sunderland make up the relegation zone on 19 points each. Into the player statistics, top goal scorer is Alexis Sanchez, as I said earlier, has 17 goals for the season. How many have been penalties? What does it say?
No idea.
I know a fair few's been penalties. I'm not too sure.
21
of his 17. Lukaku, speaking of penalties, hasn't scored one penalty this season and has 16 goals. Ibrahimovic and Diego Costa, 15 each. Defoe and Harry Kane have 14 for the season. And into the assists, the golden boot makers. De Bruyne has 9 assists. Sigurdsson, as you said before, great player this season, has 8 alongside Matty Phillips, Eriksen and Sanchez, who all have 8 assists. Sanchez, 17 goals, 8 assists. Crazy this season. Lallana also has 7 assists for the season. Payet in 7th. By the way, even though he's not in the Premier League anymore, has 6 assists.
So, what a guy.
Yeah, he's done well. In regards to average rating, now this is a thing I have on this app that I updated it yesterday, and it shows the ratings of all the players every game. Hazard is in first on an 8.13 average match rating, which is not bad. Is there anyone up there that's sort of weird? Henderson's in 7th. Otamendi's in 8th.
Where Liverpool belongs.
Moussa Dembele is in 10th. Phil Jones in 13th.
Phil Jones?
How many games he play? 12. Interesting. Idrissa Gueye's in 19th. So that's what a player. Yes, we won't talk about that. But... good stuff, boys. Well done. Let's have a look at the FA Cup.
Do it there.
We'll quickly just have a gaze at that because there was a few interesting results happen. A few upsets here and
Lincoln
there.
Lincoln City.
Lincoln City. Lincoln City. They beat Burnley, so Burnley are out.
They did.
Their home form, despite being so good, they lost at home to Lincoln, so I don't know what's going on there. Shawnee Raggett, 89th minute, what a guy. Middlesbrough, they beat Oxford 3-2. Led Bitter scored a penalty, Rudy Gested scored, and Christian Stuani also scored a couple goals for Oxford, not too bad. Huddersfield Town kept Manchester City to a 0-0 at Huddersfield. You can only think they're going to go to Manchester and get thumped, but a good effort regardless without the likes of the big man Aaron Moy. Millwall added to Leicester City's woes with a 1-0 win in the FA Cup. Leicester out of the Cup. Millwall continue their run, having beaten another Premier League team after beating Bournemouth in the last round. I believe they beat another Premier League side prior to that as well, if I'm not mistaken. I will just check. Watford. They beat Watford.
There we.
Yeah, so they've beaten the same amount of Premier League teams this year than Liverpool. Chelsea, they travelled to Wolverhampton and beat them 2-0. Pedro and Diego Costa scoring in that one. Tottenham travelled to Fulham. They beat them 3-0. Harry Kane scoring a hat-trick. United travelled to Blackburn and got a 2-1 win despite going down early. Marcus Rashford and Zlatan Ibrahimovic scoring for them. And Arsenal travelled to Sutton in this big game. And Perez scored alongside Theo Walcott. Shame no Wayne Shaw in this one. It would have been nice to see him get a gig, the 45-year-old. But he did eat a pie, so that's always good.
It is, yeah.
Good stuff, Wayne. And then got sacked, so unlucky. Europa League, Champions League, that's what we're going to look at next, Jake, in this big episode. We're just getting through this shit, aren't we? We're going to sort of start with Champions League.
The side dressing of Europa League.
Controversial. The 15th of February, Benfica. This is last week. Yeah, Benfica beat Dortmund 1-0 at home to take that early lead into the leg. Dortmund missed a plethora of chances. I watched the highlights of this one. Aubameyang missed a penalty. He missed about 2 1-on-1s. He missed a sitter. I don't know. He just wasn't on today and ended up resulting in Benfica getting the 1-0 win. PSG. Wowee. They hosted Barcelona and fucking destroyed them 4-0. Look, I don't know. I saw a stat. Messi had the least amount of touches he's had in a first half for like 7 years or something like that. So interesting. He finished with a total amount of 37 passes, 28 of which were accurate, and a 76% pass accuracy. But obviously wasn't his best at all. He attempted 6 dribbles and succeeded just 2 of them. So, unlucky Lionel. I'm sure he'll bounce back to his best sometime soon.
Fucking Lionel.
Munich. They hosted Arsenal and again fucking destroyed them. Iron Robin scored in the 11th minute. Sanchez missed a penalty but capitalised on the rebound to make it 1-1. Lewandowski, Alcantara again, which is Thiago, and Muller added to Arsenal's woes. And the sledging and the banter from Bayern Munich prior to this tie paid dividends because they destroyed Arsenal and stood absolutely no chance. Arsenal. Arsenal fan TV was quite humorous after this one. Real Madrid hosted Napoli. And this one wasn't too bad. Insigne scored in the 8th minute to give Napoli a bit of hope. But Benzema, Cruz and Casemiro, the pick of the bunch, scoring a well-timed volley.
Insigne's goal was ridiculous.
The pick of the bunch for Madrid. 3-1 to Madrid in that first leg. 4 games to go. City hosted Monaco. 5-3. Massive. For them, Sterling on the score sheet for City alongside Aguero, who scored twice, Stones and Leroy Sané. Radamel Falcao had a good game, scoring twice, but missing a penalty saved by Caballero. And Lotton scored for Monaco as well.
Big Willy.
Leverkusen lost to Atletico Madrid in this one, 4-2. Massive scoring games so far we've seen in this lot of fixtures. Pretty much meaning Leverkusen are out of the Champions League unless they can somewhat turn it around at Madrid, but it looks unlikely. Sevilla added to Leicester City's woes with a 2-1 win. Not a bad position for Leicester, though. They missed a penalty early, Sevilla, and they capitalised just after the 25th minute and 62nd minute, but Vardy's 73rd minute goal has given Leicester a slight chance here. They just got to go home and win 1-0 and they're through. So it'd be easier said than done, but obviously they can do it. But I probably will say they're not going to. But Porto in the last game.
Claudio Ranieri's going to score.
Porto hosted Juventus in the last game of the Champions League round. An early red card to Porto's Alex Tellez didn't help Juventus going through or progressing to the next tie. I don't know what I'm saying. 2-0 in this game against Porto and well-deserved. You're one of the best teams in Europe, Juventus. That's the Champions League. Now it's time for Europa League, Jake.
Fucking sideways.
Yeah, we'll just cover the Premier League teams in this one. I can't be fucked going on about fucking Shakhtar Donetsk versus Celta Vigo. Fuck that.
Are you sure?
I cannot be fucked.
language.
Tottenham Hotspur last week. Travelled to Ghent and lost 1-0. Big proceedings in that one. Big repercussions, as you'll hear about shortly. The other English teams involved were United. They hosted Saint Etienne and beat them 3-0 at home, which was big because Saint Etienne is shite. They then progressed to the next round, United, with a 1-0 away victory. So they won 4-0 in aggregate. Whereas Tottenham Hotspur drew 2-2, meaning they go out 3-2 over the two legs to Ghent. If you're unsure of who Ghent are, they're currently sitting in the higher position of 8th in the Belgium First Division. So, I mean, it's a pretty bad result for Tottenham, considering they're, 4th or 3rd in the Premier League. So,
Oh, man, I forget. No, he took 9,000 fans to the game this morning as well. Fair amount to travel from Belgium to London.
Yep, they would love that. Tottenham destroyed them, but they couldn't win, so fuck them. That's all she wrote. The Europa League we're going to cover, because I don't really feel like going through the other games, Jake, I'll be honest. Lyon beat AZ Alkmaar 7-1 this morning, which resulted in them winning over the two legs 11-2. So
Lyon fucking... Oh, my God.
11-2 over the two legs. Get around.
Fucking sideways.
Yeah, interesting.
7-1. That's a scoreline, Jordan.
I can't see too many other matches here that were unexpected. As such, did Genk win?
That's a great question, Jordan. Genk, I'm sure my Genk, application.
Genk won.
Did they? Are they through?
They
won the first leg. Yeah, they're through. They 3-2 on aggregate.
Well done, Genk. You've done.
Matthew Ryan.
Matty Ryan on my app is. What did he get? He got a 7.9 rating this morning, which was the second.
He's wearing number 70 for him.
What equal best player on the pitch, apparently. That's good.
Probably said the penalty. He's wearing number 70.
Yeah, standard. That's what you like to see.
Just playing at home.
Guess Matt Ryan's number. Dun 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 dun. Oh, did you guess it? 70. Whoa! Jake, we've got the fantasy scout report if you are keen. You've forgotten? That's all right. I'll do it for us today.
Oh, really? Yeah, Jordan's episode of Fantasy Scout Report. Who's your hot player?
The hot player in this week of the Premier League, Jake, is a tough one. Don't get me wrong, it's tough. I'm going to go for Manolo Gabbiadini, Jake.
Yeah, fair play.
I think he scored 3 goals this season already.
What's his price on Fantasy Premier League?
Roughly about a 7.1. Let's double check that. Manolo Gabbiadini, yeah, look, he's been pretty good since coming to Southampton. Obviously, like, me and you weren't too arsed, so we missed out on him. He's obviously doing well for Southampton at the moment. So credit to him, Jake, where credit is due.
Yeah, fair enough.
Interestingly, though, they have no game in the Premier League this week, so I wouldn't invest in him yet. But they are certainly one to look at after their week off the Premier League. Why are they not playing?
Who are they meant to be playing against?
I don't know. The next game's on the 13th of March against Man United.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, no. No, postponed. Yeah, the game was postponed against Arsenal.
Why? Oh, yeah, because Manchester United versus Manchester City this week's been postponed because it's the Capital One Cup final.
Oh.
There's another one we can preview, Jordan. Hey!
Woo! but Gabbiadini, get him in. The cold player this week is going to a man that is quite cold. He's not reached the heights that he can, because obviously
he's cold.
This player is cold. You're not wrong. The name of this player is he's cold. It's on the tip of my tongue. He's so cold. It's just you know what we're going to do? Gabriel Jesus is cold. He is injured for 3 months.
Yeah, and his fucking legs in a fucking freezer.
He's after a great start to his Man City career, he is now cold because he is out injured. So he won't be playing. If you got him in your team, take him out because that's what you got to do. And my bargain buy for this week. Can I have a drum roll? Shit. keep going. No, keep going. Yeah, keep going, yeah, keep going.
I need to fucking breathe.
Gareth McCauley. The 5.1 defender from West Brom has scored an aggregate total in his last four games of 29, which is a great effort. Prior to that, we'll leave out, you got a -3, but we'll ignore it, because before that game, you got an 8. but his last two games has produced 15 points. His last four have produced 29. So it's a great work from Gareth McCauley, who's just on fire this season.
McCauley's on fire.
Your defence is on fire, because he's a defender. Yeah, look, he's in my fantasy team. He's in your fantasy team. He's in our fantasy team. And that's
what he's not in mine.
Well, you should get him in, because he is this week's bargain of the week.
Who actually is in my defence, Sean? Actually, I want you to rate my team.
I'll rate your team right now.
My goalkeeper is Thibaut Courtois.
Yeah, I clearly give him an A+ for that one. A 10 out of 10, because he is still the highest scoring goalkeeper.
Wait, Arsenal aren't playing. Fuck, I need to make some transfers, Jordan.
Yep, I've taken out Sanchez and Ibra this week.
Coleman, Cedric and Walker is my back three.
Yeah.
Do I need to take Cedric out probably? I need to take Cedric out potentially because he's not playing to it. I've got Sanchez, Sterling, Sigurdsson and Coutinho across my midfield four.
I give you an 8.5 out of 10.
And I've got Harry Kane, Romelu Lukaku and Diego Costa as my front three.
I'll give you a 9 for that attack.
Yeah, and I've got the Pope, Deroon, Holgate and Wozalewski on my bench.
The Pope. nice. I like it. I'm going to give you a team an 8. 8 out of 10.
Thank you, Jordan. It means a lot to me.
I'm not going to tell you my team because mine's atrocious, but...
As long as you have removed Victor at each of you, then you're looking okay.
I've had to replace Sanchez and Ibra this week with Sadio Mane and Diego Costa.
Yeah. I'm going to do similar, probably.
Yeah, but I've still got Jerusalem up front. I don't really want to waste any points, so hopefully Holgate plays.
I'm fucking hoping Holgate plays too.
we'll get back on track here. We'll preview this week in the Premier League. The Capital One Cup final, Jake, we'll quickly have a look at first, because we'll forget about it otherwise. It's an irrelevant cup. The final between United and Southampton, I hope to God United win this. Just for other reasons outside of my control. Andre Mariner is going to take it. The receiver Chris Mariner is going to be taking this game. United will probably win this game. I think so, Jake. What are you thinking?
Oh, I fucking hope so. I don't like United winning trophies, but I'm... Similar to you, things out of my control. I'm hoping that they can get over the line, so to speak. Jordan.
Yes, or Southampton turn their season around and finish in the top 7 or 6 or whatever it is.
4.
If top 4, if they win. You never know. but quick one. The Premier League, let's preview a few games, Jake. West Brom.
Let's host, do it.
AFC, Snortsmith. Mark Clattenburg is taking control of this one at the Hawthorns. West Brom will win this game. West Brom will win this game, Jake. And you think so anyway.
Yeah, you would.
If you're feeling a bit frisky and want to get on the Bet365 Bet of the Week, mate, West Brom are paying $2.10. So
that's a bargain. That's a bargain on the week, Jordan.
That's this week's Bet365 Bet of the Week. And if you bet with us, then you know you'll get some money. That's my intro song.
You needed me to give you a bit of a tune over the top of that.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do it. Bet 365. It's the bet of the week. The bet 365 bet of the week. And it's the best bet of the week, gang. You can get a bargain of $5 on top. You double your money because it's $2.10. Ah, we've been here all season. We're going to put that bet 365 plug in because sponsorships. Yeah, all right. $2.10. You get on it. Southampton is not playing. Hull City. Hull City host Burnley. I think Hull's going to win this one because Burnley have 1 point away from home. And I can't see advantage of that. Though they could get a point, they probably won't. K-Cop Stadium, go on Hull. Do what you do best and get out of that relegation zone and put Leicester in it.
Do what they do best. They've not got out of the relegation zone in the last 3 seasons in the Premier League.
Yep. Let's turn the tides, Hull.
I think Burnley are going to double their points away from home this season. I think they're going to draw this one. And quite convincingly, too. I think they are going to hold on to that nil-all draw for a solid 90 minutes.
Well done. Everton host Sunderland. Should be a win, shouldn't it? I mean, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I don't know. 7th versus 20th. Everton have not done the best against Sunderland in the past. They've actually only won 2 of their last 4 at home. They've lost 2 of their last 3 at home to Sunderland. Fuck. Alright. Go to Toffees. Let's go for an Everton win, Jake. You're going for Sunderland.
Yep.
Let's move on to curse that game. Crystal Palace host Middlesbrough. Draw. Put my hand out right now. Draw.
Where is it? Crystal Palace host them, so it'll be a Selhurst. I'll go draw.
I like it, Jake. I like it a lot. Chelsea host Swansea City. Swansea look to bounce back and get another win. Stamford Bridge is the venue. Swansea City is the team. Chelsea FC, we love you. I don't know.
I don't love them, if I'm honest.
Swansea 15th, Chelsea first. Chelsea win, Jake. Thoughts?
Chelsea will win. I'm hoping Swansea can put a fight up because, like I said earlier, it would be big for them if they could hold them to like a 1-0 or something like that. But yeah, Chelsea will definitely get 3 points. What?
Another interesting game. Watford at home to West Ham. Tight one. Vicarage Road is the stadium. Watford is the team. An
interesting game.
Watford are in 13th. West Ham are in 10th. Draw, Jake?
Yep.
Tottenham hosts Stoke City in this one. White Hart Lane, Santiago at Bernabeu.
I was about to say the Battle of the Birds.
Why?
I don't know. I thought Stoke had a bird on their badge.
They have a wall. I don't know what that is.
Do they?
I have no idea. Tottenham 3rd, Stoke in 9th.
It's just a fucking pattern, mate.
Tottenham are going to bounce back, mate.
I got no idea, and we were discussing it earlier. I think it literally depends on if Dele Alli's playing. If Dele Alli's playing, Tottenham will win. If Dele Alli's not playing, they'll get a draw, I reckon.
Let's only hope. Hey, Jake. Liverpool travel to Leicester. Liverpool are going to win because Leicester are dog shit this season. And Ranieri gone, even though he wasn't doing that well in the league. We haven't even talked about it. I think Liverpool's going to win.
I think it's going to be a draw. I'm hoping it's going to be a draw, actually. Liverpool realistically should win, but these are the sort of games Liverpool fuck up on, so I'm hoping they do it again.
Let's only hope, Jake. Well, that's all the game is going to cover. Jake, let's quickly just touch on Claudio Ranieri. Yes, no, to be being sacked, good decision, bad decision? What's your take on it?
I think football-wise, it's a good decision, but respect-wise on what he's done, it's a bad decision. I think that there's a lot of people in world football right now that will want Leicester to get relegated now.
Yeah.
And, like, there wasn't, like I did just for the lols, but I don't think there was too many people that really wanted Leicester to get relegated, and now there are a lot of people, I reckon, around the world that want Leicester to get relegated. And there's going to be a lot of pressure on them now too, because if they do get relegated, I think a lot of people will enjoy that and get some satisfaction out of that, because they've shown zero respect, I think, to a man that's come into their club last season. And they were at 5,000-1 to win the league. They've gone and won the league. They've made the round of 16 of Champions League. Sure, they're not doing too well in the league, but they've made the round of 16. They made the round of 16 in the FA Cup as well. So it was always going to be difficult for him. And I think football-wise, it was probably the best decision, because apparently he did lose the dressing room. But at the same time, I think they've just shown zero respect to a guy who's bought them the best thing that's ever happened to their club out of absolutely nothing.
I think he deserves a statue.
I think he's going to get one now.
I think it's a long shot at the moment. But, yeah, look, I'll go out on a limb and say I think you're right based on the fact that if he hadn't won the league last season, if they'd done like mediocre, say like finished like 11th or 12th or something like that, he would have been sacked about 10 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Opinion. Even if they had to finish like 7th or 8th last season, like top half, like I reckon. Because Leicester City have been one of those clubs for a long time where they do, like, the owner does sack managers that aren't doing too well. Like, they had the season before they won the league, they were sitting deep in relegation zone, and then Pearson got them to escape relegation quite dramatically as well, which is pretty ridiculous. They won like 7 of the last 8 games or something to escape relegation. And then like half an hour after their last game where they ended up escaping relegation, Pearson got sacked.
Fucked, isn't it? Imagine.
So like it's one of those, it's a weird one. Like I think their chairman's one of those like literally no bullshit sort of chairmans that,
well,
he expects, think, like, top results, I guess.
I think it's a case of they think now they're in the league that they're in the upper class of Premier League size, which, don't get me wrong.
And they're not. They're going to be in the upper class of fucking Champions League teams next year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully. And, like, I think the chairman must think, like, he obviously has aspirations for his side. It's why he sacked the manager that escaped the relegation, even though realistically they probably are in that sort of calibre of team.
Yeah.
But now that he thinks they won the Premier League, they're like, he's probably thinking, oh, you know, his sides that are going to be consistently in the Champions League, going to be consistently in the top half of the Premier League, getting European every so often and stuff like that. Like, if they're not at all, and it's kind of annoying that he just thinks, well, because they won the Premier League, that they are now a big club.
But yeah, they're not.
They have no history. Like, they won the Premier League, but they've got no history. They haven't done it consistently over seasons. That,
in a sense, they are a big club, I guess. Like, they've gone and won the Premier League. But they're literally, in my opinion, they're going to be worse off than, like, a Blackburn. Blackburn won the league once. But now Blackburn are probably going to be in League One next season. Sure, that's 24 years or something after they won the league. But I don't, like... Like, look at Villa. I rate Villa as a bigger club than Leicester. And Villa are currently on the edge of relegation in the Championship a season after being in the league, 5 seasons after challenging for Europa League. So nothing lasts forever, realistically. And I feel like they just need to show more respect, because now they're going to have a lot of pressure on their backs. It's going to be a lot of teams that will be playing them that will be angry that they've sacked Ranieri and they've given no respect to a man that's given them the championship, really. And like, look at Arsenal for one sake. Arsenal haven't won the league in 12 years and they haven't sacked Wenger.
Yeah.
And Leicester haven't won the league in 9 months and they're sacked Ranieri. Like I know obviously Arsenal do much better in the league consistently than what Leicester are this season, but at the same time, like, I still firmly believe that if Ranieri had stayed in the job, Leicester wouldn't have got relegated. But now that Ranieri's gone, I think Leicester will get relegated.
Big discussion topic here in JJ's Football Fix, the Everything EPL podcast. Jake, it's always nice to talk about stuff that we could do with football.
Yeah, that's sort of the point of the podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We'll cut it off there because we're just getting on an hour now. But as per usual, we'll be back on Tuesday next week to discuss the A-League weekend that's fast approaching, kicking things off tonight with the big game between Melbourne City and Sydney FC. If you're not involved in the A-League, get involved because it's ever-growing and it's always a good league to watch. Of course, Premier League's back this weekend, as we just discussed. And I can't wait to not watch it because I'll be on holiday. So, unfortunately. but yeah, we'll be back on Tuesday. Until then, Jake.
Have a nice. I'm on top of the world.